Hi, friends. Welcome to the Kansas City Momcast, a place to learn, connect, and grow in a relevant and intentional way. We're your hosts, Sarah and Megan. Join us as we interview experts in the field and hear from local moms just like you. This is a podcast for Kansas City moms by Kansas City moms. We know your time is precious, and we're grateful you've chosen to spend some of it with us. Thank you for being a part of the Kansas City Mom Collective community. Welcome to the Kansas City Momcast. We are here to talk about Black maternal health. And Black Maternal Health Week is recognized each year from April 11th to 17th to bring attention and action in improving Black maternal health and reducing maternal mortality among Black women and birthing persons. So I'm excited to be here with my co-host, Sarah Gordon from the KACMC team, and then Dr. Tracy Johnson and Dr. Tiffany Ruffin. Why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Yes, my name is Dr. Tiffany Ruffin. I am a psychologist who is embedded in the maternal fetal medicine clinic with Dr. Johnson. Okay. So I specialize in perinatal mood and anxiety disorders.
And I'm Dr. Tracy Johnson, one of the maternal fetal medicine specialists at University Health. I have the pleasure of working with Dr. Ruffin in our integrated mental health clinic. And we also have a number of other maternal fetal medicine physicians that specialize in care for moms, birthing people with complications or issues that we anticipate with either mom or baby.
Great. So we hear, I feel like, a lot about pregnancy-related injury and death in the United States, unfortunately. So if you could look at the primary causes of the statistics, what is the latest you're seeing as far as pregnancy-related deaths?
So it's always important to make sure that we look at the data for what it is at that time. When we look at data right now, it's 2 or 3 years delayed. So Everybody gets upset about the statistics, but just know that it's actually very different right now.
Okay.
2 to 3 years ago, which would be 2020, 2021 data, the number one cause was mental health disorders. 5 years before that, the number one cause was cardiovascular, which included preeclampsia, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, infection was pretty high. Homicide, suicide was critical. Mm-hmm. And things like stroke and preeclampsia, things like that. So it's shifted a great deal. A lot of that is because we've done better in the hospital, but we're doing really poorly outside the hospital.
Okay.
So overall, Black women living in Missouri are 3 times more likely to die within 1 year of pregnancy than white women. How does care differ between Black mamas and non-Black mamas?
I think that we don't know that answer yet. I think that we're not a monolith in general. There's lots of different kinds of Black and Browns. I think that by and large, when we look at why people end up on the maternal mortality list, meaning they lost their life during pregnancy, from the beginning of pregnancy to 1 year post delivery, I think when we look at those reasons, it's a mixed bag. On the one hand, when we look at the number one cause being maternal mental health disorders, that is things like substance use disorder, which is not all of it. And for Black women in particular, we have a problem with homicide right now. When we look at maternal health in general, suicide is actually not plaguing Black women. It is plaguing white women. So there's also a disparity there. When we're talking about Black women in particular, number one causes are also cardiovascular. That is either preeclampsia, stroke, or you had a heart condition you did not know you had, and then you end up with a complication that allows it to show itself. Frequently, that's postpartum, in the postpartum period when women are not in daycare. So when you ask the question, how is this different? It's very difficult to say. We haven't figured that out yet, because if we look at homicide, I would say that's social impediment to care. And that's a system that was set up far before she even knew she could conceive.
Mm-hmm.
5 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old. It's the system that she's born up into that doesn't allow her to have a situation that's safe for her family. When we talk about cardiovascular diseases, we know in particular that there is a weathering effect that happens to Black women in America, and that we are subjected to institutional structural awake racism every day that ages the Black woman's body faster than it would in other populations. And so things that normally wouldn't cause someone to lose their life, like elevated blood pressure or severe asthma attack or an infection, we would normally fight off, we're not able to fight it off because there's something going on in our body that is much more toxic, and it doesn't allow us the ability to be able to fight it off easily. If you ask me how to fix that, I'm going to say I have no idea, because we're trying to fix so many different things. It's basically like opening season. There's so many different things you're trying to stay locked.
I have a lot of solution. I'm solution-based.
I love it.
So I heard a lot of what you said. I feel that the solutions are there. There's a lot of workforce development that needs to happen that can definitely help to combat some of the historical systemic racism that we face. There needs to be addressing of implicit biases. There's a solution in it. So I hear what you're saying. I definitely do believe there's a solution.
I'm not saying there's not a solution. I'm saying I don't know what it is globally. Like, I don't know how to fix the entire system of racism in a country that doesn't say that we can say racism anymore. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Also, I feel like comprehensive public, private insurance coverage for all is one step.
Mm-hmm. However, those with insurance who are educated die more. 40-year-old women that are Black die more with the best insurance in the world. So that's the problem. Is I've gone there as well. If everybody has care, everybody comes in. What happens when you come into the medical system and no one listens to you?
If you have high quality care, if you have informed, educated care, patient-centered care, I believe that can combat some of the reasons why people are afraid to come back in, because as a doula, I struggle getting people back in for postpartum.
Right.
It's a struggle getting people to really take their postpartum care seriously. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like if we overhaul a lot of the systemic things that happen in healthcare systems, that could lead people to be more trusting.
Absolutely.
Of the system, and could help with some of the outcomes.
Absolutely.
What I heard from that, if I can, is that insurance is a piece of it, right? Like having access to care. However, if we don't change the care that we're receiving, mm-hmm. that access doesn't matter. That's so you can have all the access in the world. If you don't have the issues in the system itself, access doesn't matter. So it's both are true, right?
Absolutely.
Have to work on both of those.
Absolutely.
So University Health is a leader in reducing infant mortality and taking care of expectant mothers. Can you talk about just what do you think that University Health is doing that's working right now?
So I think we're doing a lot of things right. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing we're doing right is that we are interrogating every single part of our policies, and we are listening to the community voice that says that there are things we can improve upon. Okay. I think the easy answer would be that we do ABC in the hospital, but I think the most important thing that we're doing well right now is that we are interrogating everything we do. What kinds of things are we interrogating? We're interrogating the way we speak to people. You know, everybody that delivers is not considered themselves a mom, you know,
right?
Pregnant people, birthing
yes.
people. So we're changing not just words on a page, but mm-hmm. how we actually engage with people. It's very archaic in medical EMRs, where there's only female, male. So we're updating all those policies, educating our staff, which takes a long time, longer than it should, but mm-hmm. it does. I think that we understand that we are the hospital for everyone. And so that means affluent and those that that are under-resourced. So I feel like money is coming into University Health and it's going where it should. Programs that help people that are under-resourced. Those that look at different types of people, Black and Browns in particular, people with language, people with issues that of access. The Elevate program in particular is a program just for that. It is a program geared towards Black and Brown moms and birthing people. It is group prenatal care, which people may have heard of before, but mm-hmm. it's two steps past that.
Okay.
It's not just group prenatal care where 8 to 10 people have an hour and a half a session with their, in our institution, it's a midwife and a nurse practitioner. It's not just 8 to 10 people sitting in a room with their loved one talking about pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Embedded within it is a mental health component where we have cognitive behavioral therapy. Dr. Ruffin is instrumental in that, but also the advocacy work, the toxic stress eradication, identifying how to be your best self in a setting where people are not expecting you to have a voice. And it's changing the way these women not just go through pregnancy. It always makes me choke up because they come out so different.
Yeah.
They go in thinking, oh my gosh, the world doesn't want me to have a baby. They come out going, I'm here and I'm going to be so much better for my baby and my family. And they're upset that they didn't have that with their last pregnancy. They're upset that no one else gets to have that program. So if you can see the way these people come out.
It's amazing. Amazing.
It's real. It's real. And on that, I want to speak to something you said in the beginning with what we're doing by listening to people and getting other people's voices. So we did a little project earlier. Gosh, I think it's been a couple of years now where we asked people, how do you want mental health integrated or as a part of your OB care? How do you want it talked about? What kinds of things are important to you? What do you know about it? What are the barriers that would keep you from seeking it out? So we just did a very casual question of folks. And what we found was that they wanted it integrated into their appointments when they saw their provider, and they wanted it talked about frequently. And so this was before this report came out that says, hey, number one cause of maternal mortality, mental health. So we kind of already suspecting that this is what people are telling us they want. And now we see numbers that align and say, this is so important. We need to be doing better. And so that also sparked some things that we're doing a little bit different here, which is part of our role or our clinic, where I'm integrated into the maternal fetal medicine clinic with Dr. Johnson. So we have an integrated mental health clinic, meaning 80, 90% of people, I would say, who come to see her for their OB appointments, they're on my schedule too, not at a different time. So we go in, you get both of us. So we come in, hi, this is who I am, blah, blah, blah. This is who I am. Your head's connecting to your body. You can't separate the two. So we're here to give you a whole spiel of your healthcare top to bottom. We don't miss anything. And so we get all of it's normalized because everyone gets that. It's not because we've highlighted you need this or you don't, because we know if you're pregnant, you're at risk for having a mental health disorder. Mm-hmm. So you already have a risk factor. So we're just tackling it right from the very first appointment. And I think that's different, making a difference. And as you were tearing up, thinking of the what we hear from people through Elevate as well as through this clinic. And this clinic just started months ago.
September.
Yeah, it hasn't been even a year yet. But the outcomes that we're hearing from just people talking about it, we're not doing pulling data, but just the stories that first time person comes out are like this, arms crossed, like, I don't trust the system.
I don't need to talk to a psychologist.
Why is a psychologist in this appointment? What are you talking about? I came to see Dr. Johnson. Mm-hmm. And keep going. We found about third session, the magic happens. And every time we come out of that room, we high five, we're like, there it is. Because this person who has nothing to do with, I don't want to talk. Nothing. Third session, they come and like, hey, so also I wanted to tell you this thing. And they are just so engaged and they're like excited and they're so involved in their care. And it is absolutely amazing to see.
So this starts when they come in, like prenatal. And then do you continue to postpartum care as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
We Zoom to get the virtual visits when they aren't able to make it in.
It's very close to them. It's tailored to them. There are some patients, they may see this and they go, oh gosh, Dr. Johnson, straight me and make me do these things. It's really not like that. They come in, I'm a high-risk specialist. So almost every patient that I see, I would say 99% of the patients that I see have some complication of pregnancy, either currently or anticipated. And so they come in already with their guards up. I love it.
Right.
Dr. Ruffin and I come in and they're like, she's going to tell me some bad stuff. She's going to tell me bad stuff about my baby. She's going to tell me all this negative. And if we're talking about Black women, oh, we live to prove you off. And so I say, hey, I think we might have to deliver early or this is going on. I'm like, well, no, I'm not quite sure it's going to happen. Not all, because we're not a monolith. Frequently, well, I don't know. And when we started, hey, Dr. Ruffin and I, we come in together. We make sure that you understand that we take care of the whole package of a person. Again, we start out with our pretty routine spiel of our goals, make sure their goals align with our goals, and we change ours if not. And third visit, like she said, third visit, they're coming in, they're talking to her, they're not talking to me. Oh, she told me this is going to happen, Dr. Ruffin. This is what happened when I went home, such and so. You know, I understand that I'm anxious when I think about going to my appointment and they may tell me something back. This is the way I'm thinking about this differently. Like, what do you think? You know, it's amazing. They're coming in smiling. And these are women and pregnant people with some pretty, pretty rough diagnoses, anticipated outcomes. And our goal is that it doesn't affect you in a way that is detrimental. If something happened to you because you're in a situation that happened to you, it shouldn't set up, the tendrils of PTSD or set your family up to be adversive to the medical system because mom comes home and she's crying every time this doctor told her this, that, and the other. And it allows you to be able to take back some of your power.
So it seems like such a gift you're giving to have them be
really
confident in joy. in pregnancy.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you said that in my head, I was thinking, oh, maybe, but really, I feel like we're getting the gift. Like
yeah.
We do. Yeah. Because there's such trauma out there. Yeah. You asked earlier, what kind of trauma? All kinds of trauma. Trauma from before, trauma from now, trauma that we, the medical system, imposes on our patients, mm-hmm. trauma from birth experiences, trauma from the media. I mean, it really is a thing.
Yep.
People come in with all of that. And our goal is just to take some of that out of the bucket and put it in the trash so that it's not as heavy. Everything they're carrying isn't as heavy.
Yeah.
And they can have a little bit of a sanctuary to be authentically themselves.
Yeah. I mean, pregnancy is hard regardless and comes with a lot of just natural anxiety. So to be able to at least reduce it, it's so amazing. Yeah.
And you're thinking it's not going to be good, Sierra.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good.
I love it. I love it, you guys. I love this Elevate program. I think that's great. I'm wondering how this Elevate program has become a sacred space or a safe space for Black mamas. How is the program integrating and affirming Black culture and identity?
I love that question. Okay. Number one, it was created for and by Black women. So either created, it was created out of St. Louis. St. Louis has an infant mortality of 18%. Okay. The national rate is, I think it is 4,000. Oh, I'm sorry. I give you the opposite. Preterm birth rate of 18%.
Wow.
Okay. Preterm birth rate of 18% in St. Louis. So the national rate is 7-9%, depending on what, like rural versus urban. 7-9. So now we're talking 18%, huge disparity. Most of the urban core of St. Louis is Black, brown, immigrant, lower resourced. Guess what Kansas City is? 18%. So I actually trained at St. Louis and still have deep roots there. So because they kept seeing this disparity in St. Louis, they put together a coalition of people that said, we're tired of this. This is happening to the same type of mom every day. And we're not doing anything differently. We know that group prenatal care works well. And I actually was raised in that group prenatal care setting over at WashU. And they got grant funding. Black and brown moms said, this is what we want. This is what we need. And combined with community, combined with the physicians, combined with nurse practitioners, midwives, and family physicians, they said, let's create something for and by us. So what? It's not just the care you get, it's the way that you show up. There's an actual booklet that has all the different advocacy things we go through. Every single picture in there looks like we, every single picture. And people look at the book, it's like, I don't know, probably 200 pages long. It's thick. It's not like five little things. And they literally go, I can see myself. I see a picture of my husband in here. I see a picture of my partner in here. I see a picture of my little brown joy and my little Black magic in the actual picture every day. It does something to you. Then at University Health, both of our facilitators happen to be Black women of color. One is a midwife. One is a nurse practitioner. And co-facilitators are either Black women of color or allies that literally every day are like, this is what you need, this is what you need, you let me know what you need me to do. So they go to training every 3 to 6 months. Trauma-informed training happens here, and it's facilitated by that group. So it is for us, it is by us, and was created by us. So you can't get much better than that.
Great. I love that.
I do too. That's what makes me tear up.
Yes.
Because if I would have, I'm an OBGYN, I have 3 children. If I would have went through that, I don't know what you would have got.
Yes. I work in group prenatal care.
Yeah.
So at Usami Village. So
yeah.
I love Usami. Yes. So I definitely love to hear group prenatal care coming to the healthcare system as a whole.
Yes.
I think that is one of the ways we can definitely combat some of these issues.
Very nice. Solutions.
Solutions.
Yes.
Yeah. That's exciting. So can you talk about the future of the Elevate program? How do you see it, you know, getting even better? And then what other programs are you excited about that are coming to UH?
So the group prenatal care program, you asked a very direct question. How do we make sure that it's around Black and brown? But
yes.
It isn't even only for that group. It's okay. For anyone at risk of preterm birth, a low birth weight, and postpartum depression. And the outcome that we're looking at is actually postpartum depression. We have seen anecdotally, the data is not out, that the preterm birth rate is less. in a population that normally has 18%. I think we've had one or two early. I have to go back and look, but we've already seen that the numbers are less for us as well, which goes towards the reason why there's a lot of the outcomes happening in Black and Browns, that it's not necessarily a pill you can take, that it's structural and institutional racism. Mm-hmm. However, how are we growing the program here? How are we improving the program here? We've moved it to University Health Downtown. That's the second site. There's talk about improving its access with other offices in Kansas City. We've been approached by a number of different offices that want to expand it. I need money to do that because I need more Trace Johnson and Tiffany Ruffins to do that. So if you have money,
you know, like cash.
We're just trying to rev up in a way that is intentional, would you say, Dr. Ruffin?
And talking about it, right?
Talking about
letting people know that it's there and why it's so important and the outcomes that it does change and why this is more than just, like you said, just people sitting around getting group prenatal care. Why is this important? Why do we need to be talking about this? Yeah.
Well, I don't think your passion will.
I've been accused of it before.
Well,
other programs we love. I really think the one I love the most right now, honestly, is Integrated Mental Health. Elevate, I facilitated Elevate for a while, again, over in St. Louis. I did group prenatal care in that setting, and it was amazing. It changed who I am as a provider and the way that I engage with people. Dr. Ruffin and I always talk about how we talk to people, and I feel it is very different because I feel like we're looking at them with humanism. Not that other people do not, but I feel like people tell us that a lot. That's the feedback.
Yeah,
I think I learned that from being a facilitator in group prenatal care personally, because that's not in our medical system. We're taught to be very dictatorial and very commanding because that is Western medicine. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm better than everyone else. I just think it's a little different. And then the feedback that I get is that it's received well with the population that I serve. So in particular, the reason why I would say the one I'm most passionate about right now is integrated mental health, because these are pregnant people that, almost every single patient has such incredible baggage that we're helping them unload, where they have joy at the end of their pregnancy that I would have never even thought before. I mean, talking about having more babies. I mean, just in a way that it's like, they just cannot wait. And that is not how they come in. It's so interesting. It's usually the third appointment.
Yeah. It's really neat to see that. And the thing that I think is striking about all this too, and how this is done, is holding space. And so in those appointments, they do take longer. And I think that's something that's different also, is that first appointment isn't booked for 20 minutes. It's not, you know, it takes as long as it needs to take.
Mm-hmm.
And in that appointment, a lot of the first appointment is holding space for them to have a space for their voice. And so it's different than I think a lot of experiences. Well, I know it's different than what they've told me previous experiences have been.
Yeah.
Where they get to talk about what's important to them, not just, I have a checklist, I'm going to check on, how are you doing with this? There's no checklist. We go on without that agenda. We go on to get to know the person, and you tell us what you need from us so that we can come up with a plan and see if you like that plan and how we can modify it.
And I think that's why the third appointment is when they actually go, oh, they're not going to change it. I think you're so right. I think the first appointment, we literally say, tell us what you want us to know. And then frequently we're not typing. Sometimes I have to, just because it's really long and I don't want to forget. But frequently, we're not typing or introducing ourselves. Patients have told us that they're giving little eye signals to their partner about whether they're ready to leave or not. And they're like, we thought we would be bolted out of here. But, you know, we felt good about this appointment. Second appointment, it's almost like, are they really who they say they are?
And show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the third appointment, when we're like, okay, can you tell us what's going on? They're like, oh, they really are. It's consistent. Mm-hmm. And so then we're able to really make great strides. They don't see, I don't want to speak for them, but I don't believe that they see mental health services the way they did when they walked in by that third appointment. I think Dr. Ruffin, beautiful, super kind. Her voice is very like, so I get a little mental health when I'm in that.
A bonus.
You know, the way she talks is always like, yes, we need to be thick. Yeah. We do that. It's really good because, you know, she's a therapist that you want to like, have a pocket doctor.
I love interviewing therapists because I'm
right?
Like, oh.
She just makes you feel very like, oh, yeah. So they don't think of it as getting shrunk. You know, they don't think of it as this mental health you know, sitting on a couch and someone's dissecting my child. It's not like that.
Right.
It's very individualized and intentional and personal. Mm-hmm. I just have to give you your flowers because I get mental health services
than we did. Without a bill. So without even bill. Better.
Okay. All right. So I have questions. So what can moms, partners, birthing people do to make sure that they're getting good quality care?
Make sure that they feel comfortable with who they're seeing. I think that's one of the most important things. And, you know, it might take 3 sessions, 3 appointments before you get there. Totally. But using your voice, and if you feel like you don't have that voice, I think if you're able to bring someone with you, great. If not, we often tell people, get a different opinion. Go somewhere else until you find someone that you have trust with. Obviously, that's not always an option for everyone.
Right.
And that's where, you know, knowing who the advocates are that can walk through that process with you, or you have support people, not being afraid to bring them even on phones. We have people bring their partners on a phone or their support people, Zoom or whatever, or FaceTime, mm-hmm. so that they can be a part of that appointment so that they don't feel so alone.
We modified a little bit of what we do towards delivery in the last couple of weeks, and I think it's working. We used to say this thing is called birth plans. And roughly, I kind of talked to, we were noticing a big uptick in patients' anxiety towards 35, 36 weeks when we started talking about delivery. And she and I were big time to see her doing Hail Marys with each other in the room. And, you know, she's like, we should probably call in this preferences. And it was just like, yes. And the patient instantly was like, oh, yeah. And we talked about what are your goals for delivery? What would make you, you know, feel like you had a decent delivery that you could, you know, be happy with? Mm-hmm. And we've been doing that over the last month, I would say. That's the kind of thing I would say. In your prenatal care, what preferences do you have? Do you care that someone's listening to you? Do you want them to be on time no matter what? You don't want to wait. If that's a big deal to you. I mean, you've got kids at home. Maybe you, transportation is a concern. Your job is a concern. Then make sure that you talk to that provider about that. Is mm-hmm. it that they have a vaginal birth after cesarean option? Is that something that's important to you? If it is, that's a strong preference for you. Is it someone who, you know, you can message at 10 o'clock at night and in the morning when they get there, they're going to message you within 24 hours. All of us are not able to do that just because of where we are in our day and the week. Whatever your preferences are, you, the person that you say is a support person, write those things down and then go find that provider. I will tell you, in Kansas City, there's lots of different types of providers. We have a ton of providers here at Orange City Health, all different makes and models. Mm-hmm. And so what I would say is be very direct about your wishes because you are a consumer of the health system and we need to be working for you. And I think that's why the way we look at our integrated mental health clinic is what do you need from us? Mm-hmm. That's what you should be doing. I tell Black moms all the time, particularly. In the United States, we're made to feel frequently like we should just be happy to, we should just be happy that you're being nice. We should be happy that I have insurance. We should be happy that I'm gainfully employed. And no, we should take up space because we deserve to be here. Nobody's giving us anything. Every time somebody gives me a little something, like a little flower, so my husband's always like, don't be excited about that. You deserve more than that. You know, so I hear him in my background as well. Mm-hmm. Don't just be happy to be here. Take up space. It doesn't have to be belligerent. That's not what we are as Black women. Just say, hey, I expect these things. Is this okay for you? And if they go, because of my schedule, I'm not able to do vaginal birth, that's necessary. But I know somebody who can. Mm-hmm. Go see if that person aligns with your preferences. If they do, great. Sounds like you found somebody in newsflash. Frequently, they're not going to be Black. You know why? Because there's only 6 or 7 of us in the city. Newsflash. And I'm here to deliver everybody. So see if they line up with your preferences.
Yeah.
If they do, and they listen to you, they hear your voice, they value you, they're a great clinician. Mm-hmm. They're great. That's all you need. Someone that really knows what they're doing, cares about you, values you and your voice. That's what you need.
I wish all pregnant women could hear that little pep talk when they first get pregnant. I just think it's so empowering to hear that from a provider. Mm-hmm. So we've alluded to this, but kind of as a wrapping up question, can you just talk about the best part of your job?
It's watching the transformation. It's watching people who are very disengaged, very shut down, very scared, mm-hmm. Open up and transform and earn trust. Like earning trust from people is very rewarding. It feels really good. And it's just genuinely, I feel so grateful to be witness to that and to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. It absolutely like energizes me. Like that I'm in clinic on Wednesday and Friday. And those days I am so energized. There are days when we sit and we talk after clinic for like an hour before going home, because it's just so energizing and it's so rewarding and it's humbling and it's genuinely, I'm just so grateful.
My answer is the exact same.
Yeah.
Literally not prepared. It's the exact same. My job is very, very difficult because I have to tell people bad things. But what I've learned in doing this for a while, as an obstetrician for 10 plus years, and then as a high-risk physician where everything has a complication possibility, is that things happen to you, but then it doesn't have to completely change your life in a way that's detrimental. And to be able to be there for somebody in the most vulnerable, intimate setting that you could possibly have, it's why I can't go to Walmart. Like, it's so amazing because people remember you, that you held their hand at a time when no one else was there.
Yeah.
When they were so scared, and to be able to help, because she said the key word we talk about is trust. Trust cannot be taken. Trust is earned, and it takes a special relationship to be able to build that in a time when, you know, there's not a lot of time. And we are so excited when we feel like we're doing that. Only the patient can tell us or show us that that's happening. But that's part of my job. And then to be able to help usher them through a situation that technically could be good or bad by outside standards, because they don't always get to take a baby home, right? We have to realize people say, oh, you get to hold a baby. That's not always going to be the outcome for my patient. But to have them be able to look at that in a way that it's not detrimental is the best gift. I mean, the best gift. Yeah.
Powerful.
It's so powerful. And it gets us up in the morning. We never, ever say why I come to work today.
No.
We've never done it.
Like, I'm so excited.
Every day we're always like, oh, that was why we came.
Yeah.
That was why we came in today.
And I like what you pointed out. It's not about the ideal outcome. Because so many times it's not the ideal, especially in a clinic where they are getting news about things that are scary. It's not about the happy endings. It's about the watching someone maintain a voice or feel like they have a voice for the first time. And holding space for it's in the room with us. It's okay to not be happy about this. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be angry. All feelings are okay.
That's what she said. Every single appointment. Feelings are okay.
It's okay to feel that way. And we are here to support you through that. You're not alone in it.
Yeah. So
it's powerful.
Well, thank you so much for everything you do for women in the city. And I'm inspired just listening to you and just grateful that you are a resource for University Health and that we have you. So thanks so much for talking. And thanks, Sarah, for being here. We will include links to all your programs on our show notes page. And then for additional high-risk pregnancy services, you can go to uhkc.org/BMHW. But we will link that on the page. So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you again for spending part of your day with us. We would love for you to share this podcast with other Kansas City moms, as well as rate and review, as this helps others find us. We would love to hear from you, whether it's to share about what you loved about today's episode or an idea for a future topic. You can email us anytime at kcmcpodcast@gmail.com. See you next time on another episode of Kansas City Momcast.